So there's a tradition in the Buddhist tradition to pay for the class with the world. And we make a mandala with our hands and we offer the whole world, all the nice things in the world, okay? Like, I don't want eggplant, okay? Like everything else you can offer, okay? So just do this. If you can't do this, just do this, it's all right. And I'll ask, where's Venerable Jimmy? You ready? Somebody had their car broken into at the motel, so please be careful with your things, all right? In the motels, okay. All right. Welcome, Jenny Brill. Very fine yoga teacher from LA who I begged to come for the advanced class tomorrow. Okay. All right. So it's tradition to go over a little bit of what we did yesterday. We talked about six different conditions that you would want to get ready for your meditation practice even before you sit down. So these are things you have to take care of before you start trying to meditate, all right? What were they? What was the first one? Yeah, like a conducive place. The place should be nice. That had how many conditions? Alright, do you want to go for those? What was the first one?
Place.
Yeah, a place where you can get honestly gotten provisions, right? Honestly gotten meditation heart, honestly gotten food, honestly gotten propane, etc., right? What was number two? Yeah, a place where somebody cool has meditated before, if you can find one. In this country, it's short on them. You have to create them, okay? But in Tibet, there were thousands of caves and, you know, hermitages that had been blessed for 1,000 years by different practitioners. I went to one in Mongolia. I went to the caves in Mongolia. And they had a wonderful feeling to them, you know? So, yeah, that's number two. Number three? A good location, meaning the place shouldn't be too hot, too cold, shouldn't get sick by staying there. Okay. Number four. Oh, and the place should be environmentally sweet, right? Like you're taking care of the water, you're taking care of the land. The land is, well, it's not being poisoned by toxins and the water is not being destroyed. The place should be honored by the practitioners and the people who are living there. Okay, what was the next one? What number we have? Oh yeah, good companions. And they, Prabhupada Rinpoche was encouraging, especially those who are beginning meditation, to meditate with like-minded friends who are hardcore, heavyweights. Okay? Don't stay with spiritual lightweights when you're doing your meditation. You know, who are gonna get up every 5 minutes from meditation and go make some tea or something. You know, be with people, meditate with people who are intense. And then your meditation will get good. It's like yoga, you know? If you want to get good at yoga, go get your rear end kicked every day by some really good teacher. And then you'll improve. And if you just stay with what's comfortable for you, then you won't improve, right? Okay. So good companions, dedicated, hardcore practitioner companions. Last one? Get your stuff together, which meant know what you're going to meditate about, like have some training, and then have the necessary, if you need a book to do the retreat, if you need some materials, have them already. If you need an empowerment, get the empowerment. Concentrate on having all the training that you need before you meditate, okay, before you start trying to meditate. Guess it'd be like trying to do a headstand from the beginning without anyone to help you, right from the first day of your yoga. And it might even hurt you. So it's better to be well trained before you undertake, especially a retreat, right? And I've met a lot of people who, you know, I'm always bragging about my 3-year retreat. And then people say, well, I did a retreat. And then I say, well, what did you do? And you know, I did a weekend and we went out in the forest and I said, well, what kind of practices did you do? And they said, well, you know, we just hung out, you know. And so the people who are going into 3-year retreat now, they've had, 7 years of training before they go into 3-year retreat. So you should have good training before you try to meditate. Because meditation, you know, it's difficult and you need good training. So that was the first of the 6 conditions. Second? Reduce your needs, okay? Like, don't demand a lot of nice stuff while you're meditating, while you're practicing. Don't, like, let go of all those things, like, I need a certain kind of food, or I need a certain kind of place to stay, or I need a certain kind of computer while I'm there. Or, you know, give up on all those. Just reduce your level of need, right? Then number 3? Yeah, whatever you get, be joyful and be happy and be grateful. And we were talking about how every material thing you ever comes to you, it could be a door on your new cabin. It could be the lunch that came to you today. It could be just the space that we're having the teaching in. Like, be grateful for the things around you, right? People have spent their lives, the people who built this church, you know they had. They're not rich people, and they worked hard. They probably built it with their own hands, and they really worked hard. And you should enjoy. You should like thank them while you're sitting here. And someone gives you food, or someone feeds you. You pay for a dinner, but be grateful for the people who served it, and be grateful for the people who did the farming, and the people who brought it to you on a truck. And these people. I had one American person, they said, oh, but they get paid. You know, I'm like, yeah, but they get paid, but how much do you pay a person for an hour of human life, which they cannot replace, which is irreplaceable? You know, $5, $10, $100? You know, what's an hour of a person's life really worth? And then thank them. Thank them. Be grateful for things. Okay? Next. Yeah, don't be busy, okay? Don't get too busy. Busy is relative, right? But anyway, don't be busy to the extent that it would harm your meditation. Right? Did you? Sorry? Oh, did we miss ethical? Is that next? The power to meditate comes from being nice to other people. I like to take Dharma Mitra's class, Sri Dharma Mitra's class, when I go to New York, you know. And then he does all these. First, he does an hour of really hard asanas. And then he has this, I don't know, I still don't know if it's a joke or not. But he says, okay, now we'll start the class. You know, and you're already soaked in sweat and you're like panting. He says, now we'll start the class. That is the warm up. Then he kills you for another hour. And then at the end, he always makes you sit down and he always says the same thing. He says, be nice to other people. You know? And then he says, okay, you can go home. But he makes you sit there for 5 minutes and hear the same talk. And it always ends with, you know, be nice to other people. So the power behind meditation comes from just being nice to other people and other creatures, right? Being kind to other people. The karma to meditate well comes from taking care of other people. Okay? So if your mind feels distracted, you might want to look into that. Okay? Because that's why your mind is distracted. All right. Was there one? Was there one more one? Yeah, just try to give up random thoughts of wanting things and disturbing thoughts, random thoughts. The kind of thoughts you get if you talk on the phone to somebody who's a little cuckoo just before you go to bed. And then you try to sleep and you can't sleep, or your dreams are weird, right? Or something like that. Like, you know, someone who disturbs your thoughts, or like television shows, or things that disturb your thoughts, like give up those. Okay? So those are preconditions for meditation. If I had to rate them, which do you think is the most important? Yeah, an ethical way of life, okay? Why? Because your mind, the condition of your mind, is also a karmic result, right? Like, obviously, whether you get money or not, or whether people yell at you or not, this is all coming from karma, right? Whether you get in a car accident or not, this is coming from karma. But your thoughts are also coming from karma. The condition of your own mind is also coming from karma. How you treat other people. So the cheap way to meditate well is just be nice to other people. You see? Then you save all this trouble on your knees. And you know, hours and hours of wasted battling with your mind. You see? Because the battles you have to fight are because you're not nice to people. So if you're nice to people, there won't be any big battles to fight when you get into meditation. People came to our three-year retreat site afterwards, and they looked at the cabins, the yurts, and they said, oh, it's so pastoral, and it's so peaceful. And I'm sure you had just the most, you know, what do you call it? Like, warm, friendly time in those cabins. And I said, it was like Vietnam. Every day was bloody. Every day was a war, you know. Every day was a fight. You have no idea it was silent and it was bloody and, you know, it was hard. And you won't have all those fights will be fights that never happen if you collect the right karma ahead of time. Then you just sit down and suddenly you're having, I call it popcorn. Popcorn means, you know, pop, 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 pop. And great things are happening to you and wonderful thoughts are coming in your mind. They don't come by accident. They come because you're nice to other people. Every time you're nice to someone, you make karma to have a sweet meditation. So rather than having a Vietnam War in the corner of your living room where you meditate, concentrate on being ethical and kind to people, right? No killing, no stealing, no sexual misconduct, no lying, no slander, no harsh words, no idle gossip, no craving, no ill will, no wrong. These are the 10, right? You know that. Okay. Avoid those things and then the meditation will come, right? Beautiful. Beautiful, good meditation. Okay. So we finished the preliminaries. We're on to you ready, Nipo? Nipo, I forgot to tell you one thing yesterday. Why is it going to take 10 years to finish this course? This book is 800 pages, okay? We can do 3 pages a set. You figure it. My idea is we're starting with the meditation section at the end of Prabhupada Bhattacharya's book. Then we'll, by Tuesday night, we'll be on the emptiness section from his book. And in this 10 days session, we will complete the sections on meditation and on how reality really works. Again, the reason to study how reality really works is that you can stop fighting reality and you can just get the things you want automatically, you know. I'll tell you a story tomorrow. I can't tell you today. Something's happening today from karma, and we just planted it. And it's very beautiful. Yeah, I'll tell you tomorrow, okay? But, the reason to study these things is that you can make good things happen in your life and in the world, right? We were talking about going to British Airways two weeks ago. And they have 43,000 workers, and they asked us to come and help them and teach them ways to make the workers happy and make more money at the same time. Pay the workers more and make more stock share at the same time, which is not possible, right? So we're doing that, and it's very beautiful. So the idea is that you take these holy instructions and you use them for something cool, like peace in the world or something like that. Okay? So then we'll go through the rest of the book. That will take, I don't know, X years. And then I had an idea. You see, we're skipping to the end now, right? We're doing the meditation section and the how does British Airways work section, right? And then if we go this way, then a couple of years from now when we finish, we won't have any fun because the end of the book will already be gone, you see? Which is what we're doing now. So there's the grandfather book of this book is what? The Lamrim Chemo, the great book on the steps of the path by the teacher of His Holiness, the first Dalai Lama, Jetsukapa, was written 600 years ago. That book has about 400 pages on emptiness and meditation together. Shilak Sundrel. And I thought we could just like go over there for a while to get the end again. Got it? So that's why it's going to take 10 years. Okay, here we go. Now I will teach you how to really reach deep meditation once you've got all those things ready. You're all ready. He didn't tell you to get a cushion, but you know that. Okay. Utale. There's a book called Madhyanta Vibhanga. It means it was written 16 centuries ago by the next Buddha in the world. Okay. Maitreya. Who's very close. And he wrote a book about, he wrote how to meditate. He has a system or a technique how to meditate. 16 centuries ago he granted this teaching. So here's what he said in his book. The book means separating the extremes from the middle. What's that mean? Is it true that anything in your world works? Does your car work? Does your refrigerator work? Does this book work? Nothing works. Nothing. Does it exist? Does it function? Yeah, so when somebody like me says nothing works, your car doesn't work the way you thought it did. Okay? Then the tendency is for people to overdo it. They say, oh, Geshe Michael said nothing at all works, ever. Okay? Did I say that?
No.
I just said nothing works. Okay. Anyway, two extremes. Uta namje means avoid the two extremes. Go to the middle. Something like an aspirin will work and something like your car won't work if you have helped other people with headaches and if you have driven people around in the past. Okay? Right? Yoga will work if you help the sick and the elderly. Then you go to a yoga class, it will help your body. And if you don't, it will hurt your body. Okay? That's why there are what? Restorative classes, which are to help people who hurt themselves in yoga. Okay. Nyepa Napong. He says, there are five, okay, this is going to be your life for the next few years. You're just about to hear it. Nyepa Napong means, Maitreya, the coming Buddha, says, there are five classical challenges that will come up during meditation. There are five classical challenges that every meditator has to face. And you have to learn them, and then Duje Ge. There are eight actions you can take to counter those five challenges. Those five problems can be countered through eight different methods. And this is how people have been meditating on this and other planets for countless years, okay? This teaching is very, very profound and very ancient. Much older than this world, okay? And so you have to learn it. There are five problems. There are eight ways to stop those problems, okay? If you rely on the eight antidotes, you'll be able to meditate well. Here are the, then he lists the five problems. Okay, here we go. Lelo. Lelo is about the only Tibetan word that sounds like what it is in English. Lelo. What's lelo?
Laziness.
Traditionally it means laziness, but in meditation it has a different meaning. I don't feel like meditating today. Okay? I like to translate it as, I don't feel like it today. It's not really. Laziness is sort of like that, right? Laziness is like you're sitting around all day drinking Dos Equis or Corona. It's not like that. It means you get up and you look at your cushion and you look at your clock and you think about stuff you have to do today and you think, yeah, I just don't feel like doing it today. That's lego. That's problem number one. If we can't overcome problem number one, you won't have the other four problems. Okay? All right. Okay, maybe it's better. Lelo dami. Dala namje means you forget the instructions. You forget the instructions. It has, though, a special interpretation that we'll talk about. Number three. Chingdam go. These are your friends. You have lived with these your whole life. Say, chingdam go. These are the two extremes of meditation. A good meditator is driving like, watch my hands. You see, watch a person's hands when they drive, right? Watch a person who's just learning to drive. You know? And they're always going off the road. And then a good driver, everybody else is, they're talking on their phone and they're not paying attention, but their hands are going like this constantly. They are correcting. Good meditation is a process of correcting constantly. Between two dangers. You're trying to not hit that curve, and you are trying not to hit that curve. When Rinpoche was teaching me this, I was teaching him how to drive. He was 60 years old. He had never ridden a bicycle. And all we had was a stick shift Volkswagen. So the day he was teaching me this, this took 2 years to teach him to drive. And we were going down the street near Freehold, New Jersey, and there was a guy out mowing his lawn, and there was a row of garbage cans. So Rinpoche jumps up on the curb, nails all the garbage cans, and then stops and opens the door. And then the guy's doing all this stuff. And Rinpoche says, what's that mean when you say shit and you do that thing with your finger? And I said, oh, he's just greeting you, Rinpoche. So I had to get out. But anyway, I never forgot this teaching. So there's garbage cans over there, and there's garbage cans over there, and you don't want to hit them, okay? What's over here? Chingwa. Chingwa means, I get more funny around many, I don't know why. Chingwa means dull. You get dull. You get sleepy, no energy. They meditate, you get bored, sleepy, dull. That's one extreme, okay? The other extreme is called glupa. Glupa means you get restless, or your mind gets stirred up, okay? And meditation is riding a middle path between those. And until you reach the very heights of meditation, which I'll show you, you got the...
It just arrived.
Okay,
so
I need the
original.
Can I have the original? Okay, try. So you're going to be correcting. Until you get really good at meditation, you're going to be constantly correcting and trying not to hit the two rows of garbage cans, okay? That's the idea. Constant correction like this, okay? Between the mind goes too low, and then the mind gets too excited. When your mind gets too excited, you're thinking about lunch. When the mind goes too low, you're like, you know, you're spaced out, okay? Dull, all right? Got it? We had a retreat one time in Connecticut, and we thought of this, what do you call it? Perfidious approach. That's not such a good one. Mean, it was mean. We said, we're going to have a meditation retreat. And then we gave them a big, big lunch, and we made everybody eat a lot, and we kept them up late the night before. We gave them like 6 or 5 hours of sleep, and then we fed them a lot of heavy food. And then we had a meditation session. Because we wanted them to see Chingwa, you know, and they did. And they never forgot it. But I don't want to waste your time, and it's also expensive. Okay, Chingwa no. Gopa, so Chingwa Gopa, that's problem number three, right? Hitting either garbage can line is problem number three. We're going to go through this chart made by the editor of this text, His Holiness the Dalai Lama's teacher, and we'll be going through this chart. But what we're undertaking now, what we're embarking on now, the five problems, the eight antidotes, etc., is all summarized in this beautiful chart. Okay, so we've translated it down here into English, and we have copies for everybody. We're still going to take your money. I think the plan is to still take your money, but someone has covered the cost.
$5.
Say again?
They covered
$5. Anyway, more money is going for somebody's cabin in a 3-year retreat than was going yesterday. Okay? And basically, if you don't have any money and you want one, you can have it for free. Okay? And I'll cover it. I'll cover that. Okay?
Yeah, we'll get those prints in a couple days. We have enough for the people who ordered.
Okay. So, anyway, on this chart are the 5 problems and the 8 antidotes. And we'll talk about it. Okay? You gotta have a chart like by the brick. You can have a chart, something.
The people who ordered one, they're in the back.
Okay, we'll do it at the brick. All right. Okay, here we go. Do you have anything to do? Those are the 5 problems of meditation. She neva na nyambo duche gyetem barsoru. He's Maitreya is saying you have to use the 8 antidotes to fix the 5 classical problems of meditation. Okay. Sorry.
4 and 5.
I just did 4 and 5. Oh, I didn't do 4 and 5. I'm sorry. You're very clever. Okay. Number 4 is Dumije. Dumije means failing to take action when you should be. You're headed towards the garbage cans and you don't turn back. Okay. Number 5 is duje. Duje means taking action when you should leave it. Your mind is going smooth, your meditation is going smooth. Don't mess it with it. In my company, they used to say, the factory manager used to say, if it ain't broken, don't fix it. Okay? If you're not having a problem, then don't like investigate how you're doing, because that'll take you towards the garbage cans. Got it? When you finally get to that point where it's flowing, let it flow. Those are the 5 classical problems. So you can use the 8 antidotes to fix these 5. Dingin Rupe Mangla Ni Jamche Dang Sade the Uma Bomrim So Shum Chemo Namsu Sumba Le Lakpa Mebena. So Dingin Rupe Mangla Ni Pabal Gurbache is saying, if you want to learn how to meditate and you want good instructions for learning how to meditate, Jamche, turn to the great books of Maitreya. How many?
Five
great books of Maitreya. Turn to the great books of Maitreya. Okay. Or Sade, study the great books on the levels of realization by a Sangha, okay, Master Sangha, who saw emptiness directly. Or Uma Gomrim by Bhavana Krama, Master Kamalashina. So when Lama Christie started to teach meditation at Dhanu Mountain, we spent a lot of time choosing the text that she would use for 6 or 7 years. And those, that was on the top of the list, right? Bhavana Krama. So these are ancient meditation manuals. So Shum Chemo Namsu Sumba Lai Lakpa Mekina. You can't find any better instructions than those. Rangchaki Mengak Ditabo Tselne Gong Gongashi Gurki. People like you and me, say Rangchak.
Rangchak.
It's right there in the first of them. Rangchak. Rangchak means people like you and me. In English we say people like you and me, right? And it's all through this text. This is the most beautifully written book in Tibet. Forget that the subject is the most beautiful subject. And forget that it's the best teaching of it. The writing is the most beautiful writing ever done in Tibet. Really. It's extraordinary. Okay? If you... The writing is like Shakespeare. Beautiful. Really, really beautiful. And clean and perfect, you know. Anyway, Pabal Gurbache kept saying Rangchak, which for a high lama is a joke, you see. He's saying, like, you and me have these problems, you know. And he keeps saying you and people like you and me, okay. But just to read that word in Tibetan, it's very sweet. You know, here's this extraordinary master who never had this problem for the last 18 lifetimes. And he's saying, you know, guys like you and me, we have all these problems. I'm talking Megadidabu. People like you and me, we can... All we need to do is just refer to one of these great classics about meditation. And then we can learn to meditate. Depa Minbar, Shum Chempa Dak Shechu Susune. But you see people who, they encounter one of these classics about meditation, and they think, oh, that's just a book. They treat it like an encyclopedia or something. Like they can't relate to those heavy duty instructions on a personal way. See, they say, oh, that book's like way beyond me. You know, I wouldn't use the Bible to meditate. Give me just a little something that somebody wrote later. Okay? And Pabal Gurbache is saying, in this hardcore meditator tradition, we go to the classics. We go to the explanations of meditations which have survived 25 centuries of use, okay? And like, why? It's like iTunes, you know? Just go to the number one song and don't fool around with, you know, number 83 or something, okay? Like, you have in front of you a manual which has been used for 2,500 years. So use it, okay? Got it? Now, he gets kind of frustrated at this point. Assume it. Don't go for some made up thing that somebody thought of last week, okay? That's gonna disappear next week, okay? Big advices from some teacher, a so called great teacher, that's not gonna. Nobody. Oh, anyway. Bail boom means. These are like, I don't know. The equivalent in our world would be New Age something, you know. Anyway, Belbu means annals, and they are kind of little funky books. How's that? Okay? Little funky books. Sinji means Somebody who didn't know what they were talking about gave a teaching and somebody wrote it down and they passed it on. Yikchung means somebody dug under a rock and found a little piece of paper with some meditation thing written on it. Okay? So, Chungchung Shikla, Tsi Chenpo Chepani. But people go for the dumb little books. Because they're little, I don't know. Doubleday told me, don't publish how yoga, we won't publish how yoga works. You write a book about the Yoga Sutra which is no longer than 100 pages. I said, there's 200 verses, you can't do it in 100 pages. They said, yeah, but people want small books. You see? So, anyway, he says, don't go for those. Shigla tsi chamo chepani, yosar ni tsalwar mesa tsalwe. You are looking for what you want in a place where it isn't, and you are refusing to look for what you want in a place where it is. Got it? Yeah? Make sense? Okay. It's like you want a muffler and you go to a bowling alley. Okay? Okay. You ain't gonna find it. You know, Joseph Kappa talked about this same problem in his greatest book ever on the steps of the path to enlightenment. He put a little, what do you call it, ditty? What's a ditty? A ditty is like a little limerick rhyme thing. And yeah, jingle. And Joseph Kappa, to break the heaviness of his great classic, he put some jingles in there. And he said, you know, you can read the jingle that Joseph Kappa put in his book 600 years ago. To explain this problem. So, of course, I had to go find it for you. And I did. And you have to listen to the whole thing. Yeah. Dear Mepa, here's my little ditty. Dodam gong dao tenju chemole, nexen things and jupe rimba ni, juje lingwe, no duchin nam ji, jishi mato rangi loi kin. The steps to achieving incredibly deep meditation, which have been described so exquisitely in the great classical commentaries and even the Lord Buddha's own teachings. The texts themselves, the style of writing, is too profound and too deep for people. So, Lodru Chung Nam Ki, those who lack sufficient intelligence. Jishin Mato Randi Loi Kim. If you can't figure it out, that's your problem. Okay? Okay. Shenla Kurpe Shung San Veda La Nito Kyoe Dampa Menyam Ne Yurpe Shindu Matsel Ne Pesar Veva Dume Tsushin Nyepa Sen. So, they decide that they should go, they think it's impossible to find anybody in the world who could teach them how to read the classics on meditation. So, Yubishin to Matsal. So they don't seek their meditation instruction in the books that really have it. They seek it where you can't find it. Got it? That's where the reference comes from. They waste a lot of time and they work really hard in a place where they're not going to get anything. Okay? Nyamne, so shing nye pasem. Dende chiro pada namba yi tingzin nam gyan chepa ming yun lam. Tepa chodan, tepa memba dan, doje tekan paro chimba yi tingzin tingin zingi kepa kain pa jishin chepa gyur pa mochi go. That's a long story. They can't even distinguish between the classical schools of ancient times, okay? Much less distinguish between lower and higher. There are average instructions for meditation. There are higher instructions for meditation with which you can change the world and fix the world. And there are even higher instructions on meditation where you transform the world into a divine place, okay? They are hopeless with trying to they don't even have those categories. They just went for some little new age thing they heard at a yoga studio. Okay, got it? Alright.
Not that everything in a yoga studio is bad. Okay. So they told us, Shamu Chemoi, Tintin Kilso Kole Naki She.
So I'm going to describe to you, just says Jesu Kappa, the way the teacher of the first Dalai Lama, how to meditate properly from the classics, and as it has been taught for 25 centuries. But Golai Naki She means, but I'm going to put it in terms that you can deal with. I'm not going to like blow you away with some technical stuff. I'm going to present it in an easy way. And this poster is that. I'm going to present it to you in a, what do you call it? Digestible way. But it's going to be the hardcore stuff from the classics that has been used for 25 centuries. Okay?
Shun Chim Shik. Shunlu Chela Momang Jamba Yi Dok Tak Rangi Nogo Rimboche Dorne Shengi Chingu Malem Par Rangla Linchen Yopa Kemba Zo.
There are those of you in this audience who have spent years practicing and studying the great teachings. Like some of you have spent 15, 20 years studying the great teachings. And you have indeed your own possession, priceless jewels of instruction on how to meditate that have lasted for 2,500 years. Don't switch it for some cheap glass ornament. You see? He says, don't go buying trinkets when you can get rubies. You see what I mean? You have rubies, grab them and use them. And don't go running after some, what do you call it? What do you call that kind of jewelry with a paste? Don't go for costume jewelry when you can get the crown, the royal jewels of England. He said, just while I have an extra day in London, after we did British Airways, him and Will? Who was it? Oh, Scott. Yeah, Scott and Kevin said, Geshla, we have an extra day. British Air kept us an extra day. So, what do you want us to do with the extra day? I said, go see the Cullinan Diamond. It's the largest diamond in the world. And it was broken up into the 11 largest diamonds in the world. Got it? Like one diamond was cut into 11. And they're still the largest diamonds in the world. I said, go see the Cullinan, you know, go see the crown jewels of England in the Tower of London, right? So I sent him on this little trip, you know. So if you don't try to spend the time to grasp the deep details of meditation that you're going to learn and go to the Tower of London and get these crown jewels, right? Don't go, and then you're going to dump these and go after costume jewelry, you know, like, that's what he's trying to say, okay? You spend the time, make the effort. It's hard. It's not easy. It's deep. It's very subtle. There are lots of incredible details. But those are the crown jewels. And don't trade them in for some cheap little thing you can get somewhere else, you know? Don't trade them in for some little, you know, 15-minute thing that somebody made up, okay? All right. It's hard, and it's worth the effort. It's like Anusara Yoga taught by a good teacher. Alright.
Malemba Rangla Rinchen Yipa Kemrizo. You've got the goods, use them. Keki Jambe Shunne Gambe Dun Losun Mepa Sine Kumaki Mangu Tepa Nana Deo She Suma Dei Dunlam Chepa Re. In the scriptures which you've already studied, Losun Mepa Sine, there's nothing that got left out. Didn't the Buddha himself say it's a lot more fun to be out in the forest? Think about it. He's just saying it's more fun to meditate than watch TV.
Work hard.
Learn all the details from a classical text.
He says, and my most important teaching to you about meditation is find someone who knows what they're talking about and learn from them. If you can't find a good teacher and you bump up against the great classics and they are too much for you, relax and set them aside for a while, but don't reject them. Okay? Like, set them aside for a while. Say, I can't handle that. I need someone to help me with that. And it's okay to shelve, what do you call it? Shelve it for a while. But don't reject it. Don't say, oh, I'll never be able to go through the real book on meditation. In back of your heart, in the back of your mind, say, I'm gonna crack that nut. Sooner or later, it may take me a while, and I may have to work hard, but aren't the results so much better when you work hard for something, right? Than just someone hands you some little costume jewelry, and you put it on, you know? It's more fun to work hard and earn something, and get good at something. And in yoga also, right? So he's saying, tackle the big ones, the real classics on meditation, and then your meditation will be, oh my God, it'll be something beautiful. Okay. Okay, that's all right. Okay, here we go. So that was his ditty. Chikchebe sumba ten dena shungchebo dita bor ma tenba lama kang chungchung re sumda mena in sewala yi tenne mi tse repuk to kya ya. You can, oh, chingwa chamo la gong to tru. If you just take it easy and go for some lightweight little meditation thing that you heard somewhere or you read somewhere, you can invest your entire life. You can invest the rest of the years of your life. Chingwa chamo la gong to tru. And you will just be spacing out. And you will never understand that that's not meditation. Okay? You will, without the proper instructions, you will reach a state of meditation. This is assuming you do it every day, right? For years. You will reach a kind of spaced out state, which is extremely dangerous. It feels like meditation and it's not. So, if you don't get good instructions on meditation, you just take whatever somebody says somewhere, and even those rare people who practice it for years will be wasting their life. Because it puts you into a very subtle state of, what do you call it? You could call it spaced out. Chingwa chamo, right? Spaced out. And then it actually ruins your mind. It hurts your mind. I have these friends from college. You know, I gave up marijuana when I met His Holiness. Me and my mom went to see His Holiness. You know? In India, in, I don't know, 1974 or 73. In those days, you just knocked on his door and you just went in. And we went in and we sat down and he looks at me and he says, it's the first thing he says. He says, did you ever try drugs? Like, I'm with my mom. And I can't lie to the Dalai Lama. So it was a nandong. It was an ethical quandary. So I said, yeah, I tried it a little bit. And he said, tell me what it's like. You know? And we talked about it for a while. And he said, hey, you should just learn to meditate. Then you don't have to spend all that money. You know? And anyway, why did I mention that? Oh, yeah, I got distracted. I'm gonna study that. So, yeah, I had friends from those days who didn't, I stopped using drugs on that day. I used marijuana and maybe I took, what do you call it once? Mescaline. But anyway, twice. So I stopped, but there are friends of mine who kept going, you know, and they're still smoking dope every day. And their minds are just like mush,
You know, they have no motivation. They are constantly in financial trouble. They never quite get anything done. Their whole house is covered with half-finished things, you know? And it's sad. And their mind is just sort of like, you know, toilet paper when you get it wet? It's, I don't know. It feels like that to me. You try to have a conversation with them, and then somehow they lose the point of, they lose the sentence after a few sentences, and they look at you, and then you're like, yeah? And then if you meditate in a mistaken way, and you're one of those rare people who actually keeps doing it for years, your mind becomes like that, okay? It's a big danger. Your mind doesn't become more sharp, more clear, more ethical, more pure, more insightful. It just gets like mush, okay? So he says very, very dangerous not to have good instruction, okay? Nitende, where were we? Semla mikpe shinela samchengi lamdu chua chen mawa yin. There is a practice that was very popular in India called Maha Mudra, and a lot of you know it. Okay? It's also a yoga pose. There's a yoga pose called Maha Mudra. And this is a special kind of meditation where the object that you take for the meditation is your own thoughts, okay, your own mind. And rather than visualizing a holy being, or rather than tackling a problem, a philosophical problem, you focus on your own mind, on your own thoughts, okay? And that's also dangerous that you can get distracted by that. It is a very good meditation, and there are very high versions of it, but it has a goal, and it has a purpose. And if you're not aware of that, you can waste your whole life just watching your mind, okay? So that's what he's saying. Some people have even described that as the secret teachings, Sang Cheng Ki Lam. This is what Tantra is. Some people have misunderstood the meaning of Tantra, and they have spent their lives watching themselves think about lunch. Okay? Which is a useful practice if it has a goal. You have to understand the goal of that practice. Okay. Dendala, I'm sorry, Gosa Chempa Shorvate. They have fallen into a great error. Dendala jitsam bekyam mitse tong sega chepa nile shenme. You can waste 1,000 lifetimes that way and accomplish nothing else of meaning. Okay? Not just one lifetime. You can spend 1,000 lifetimes. With mistaken practices of meditation and waste your time. Waste your life. Okay? And I'm talking about the few people who keep it up for their whole life, right? Most people just give it up after a couple weeks. Here we go. Shenbe. Pagi kepa dhapa mambo tatam sobla nancho chunga chunde nambi rangang ke shuru la shiptik dene shepa nu. The fact that there are many classical traditions of Tibet, there are many Nyingma, Kagyu, Sakya, Gelugpa, Bumbo, there are many great lineages of Tibet. He says there are people in each lineage, including our own, who have been called great. But if you really, what do you call them? If you examine them against the teachings of their own school, you can see that they have failed. You see? You compare them to what the teachings of their own school say, and you can see they didn't reach their goals. You see? They didn't follow their own school's instructions. Okay? He's saying the instructions are good in each tradition, but even these people fail to follow them. If you really check, chintengi, jetsum kaba chandutabo chusum kangi chala ang gyaga ki pendu patu nangi sum atumne pangor zepa masse. The art tradition, he's not claiming that it's the only one, and he's not claiming it's the best one. He's just saying that the particular tradition I'm teaching, which comes down through Jetsun Kapa, Jetsun Kapa had a thing. He started a lineage, the lineage of the Dalai Lamas. He started a lineage in which no BS was put up with.
You see? Because everything that you learn in a Dalai Lama tradition monastery, you're required to debate for 4 or 5 hours a day. You are required to thrash it and discuss it, and you are required to determine whether it's valid or not. Everything we're taught, every single day, for 25 years, we have to go for 3, 4, 5 hours and rip it apart and check if it's true or not, you see? And that's just the, what do you call it? It's a ISO. What's ISO? There's an ISO standard thing, right? If you have a company, you can go to the ISO in Switzerland or something, and you can say, you come to our company and you rate us. You rate our accounting methods, etc. You rate our company's honesty and integrity, right? And if you're like have guts, you invite these Swiss guys into your company, and they spend like a couple of weeks there, and they say, okay, your accounting is correct, and your methods are true, and the product you're making is pure 100% what you say it is. You see what I mean? That's an ISO rating. Then you get a ISO 1200 rating or something like that. This lineage is like that. Everything is checked and everything. I don't know how to say it. There's an internal audit process where if you try to say something which doesn't make sense, they write it down. They say, Geshe Michael said the following in a lecture in Mesa on Saturday. They write it on a piece of paper. They tie it to the tail of a dog, and then they chase it out of town. That's the tradition, okay? Like, you try to insert some new stupid thing into the tradition, and it spits it out like an antibody, okay? So anyway, you're in that kind of, that's the where you ended up, okay? There's an internal audit process where, started by Jetson Kapa, where something which was not powerful and correct was just spit out. And it just doesn't survive the test of the daily debating. Okay? Like that. Okay. Then let's see what happens here. Jetsim jabe yang lu ki tok san dong che nang te ten la pa pe sun la tu pe chi ma me mo bo jo nang ze yu pe. Also, there's the fact that the guy who started this Lama tradition, his Lama was who? His main Lama. Majushi. Okay? His Lama was an angel. I mean a real divine being. You know? Like he got to a point which you can read sometime, okay? It's a beautiful story. But he reached a point where he could talk to divine beings and ask them questions where he wasn't sure of. Like, you're stuck with me. He could just go to the top. You know, he would say, Maitreya, I don't understand this point. And then this divine angel would appear and explain it to him. Okay, it's very beautiful. Mama Jamnan Zepe, Yepe, Rangre Dende Menga Latenga. So I guess he says, maybe people like you and me, he uses Ramchak again, right? Maybe people like you and me could maybe use this book, maybe? Okay, alright. De tabu ne ma sung shing mi tim ba me ma chi nimbo re na nga ma ka pe to pe shi ke nyen nyen. This is cute, okay? This is a Paboka-ism. He was kind of funny in a Tibetan way. He said, but if you feel like it, you can go try some, you know, people make up some little new meditation. And you can go study it with them. And you can learn it, and you can work on it. And then you will probably get to some new kind of enlightenment that no one yet has discovered, you know, like that. Okay, that's a joke. Okay. Dena Samaki Kenzo Nesunke. Whether you are studying the highest levels of Tantra, the highest levels of secret practice, of which yoga is a part, okay, physical yoga is a part. Whether you're studying that, Tana Tingin Zen Chungo Re Goma Yenla, or whether you just want to be able to concentrate better on fixing your car or something, okay? Like from the highest levels of secret practice down to fixing your car. Yinla, Tenje Kuma Ne Sumba Shine Jubi Menga Nyepa Ngapo. If you want to learn a state of mental concentration or focus which you can apply all the way from fixing your car up to the highest levels of secret practice where you transform your very body and mind into the divine. He said, learn the five problems. Learn the eight antidotes, and you can do it. Whether you want to fix cars, whether you want better concentration so you can recognize if the carburetor is working right or not, or whether you want to save the world by becoming a divine being. Somebody told me they saw the other day, fifth element. Yeah, if you want to become the red-haired lady, okay, yeah, okay, some people know. But whether you just want to fix your car, if you want to have a mind which is stronger and purer and more capable of doing stuff, the opposite of the pot-smoking person, right? If you want to be a person whose mind is like a steel bear trap, you know, and you can do anything, and you can learn anything, you can solve anything, your mind is like... Because you need that kind of mind to be really happy, you see? To really reach happiness, you need that kind of strong, pure, clean, focused mind, okay? If you want that, study the five problems and study the eight fixes. Okay, study this poster. Learn it. And then your mind, the level of your mind will change. Okay? It'll be really beautiful. It's kind of interesting to think of your mind as a piece of art, right? It's interesting to think of your own mind as a beautiful work of art. You see, you have an opportunity now in your lifetime to repaint your own mind. You know, you have an opportunity to change the beauty of your own mind into something much more powerful, much higher, much more pure, much more inspired, you know, much more able to save people in the world from suffering. Okay? And the people we took to British Airways, right? British Airways has 43,000 workers. They have a $12 billion company. We took these six people in, right? They were trained in Diamond Mountain. And we took them into this big, huge company, you know? And they got it. You know, we had like 25 of the top people in the room. And they saw these people's, the state of their mind, you know? And they were so attracted, and they just, something happened. Something beautiful happened, you know? These guys just show from, we didn't even have British accents. And we didn't know how to say schedule. And I wonder, they sound weird to us, but I'm wondering, we must sound to them like, oh, why y'all over here? And but even though we were American, they were like attracted to the people's minds. And you could see it happen. It was very beautiful. They were really turned on by the people's ideas, you know. I was afraid they were going to steal some of them. I'm always afraid of that. Okay. Okay. You gotta learn the five problems. You gotta learn the eight fixes for that. If you don't, there's no way you're gonna be a great meditator. Okay, we're on to the first problem. What time am I supposed to stop this class?
Six?
Break. Okay.
You don't have to do it.
Yeah, I know. Okay, here we go. I'll just go for a while, okay? We have to finish a certain amount every day or it'll be 20 minutes. Okay. Dela nyepa dambo lelo nyepa tingin ki yenden tome depa.
The first problem of meditation is what? Lelo means... Just think of it as, I don't feel like meditating today. Because you and I know that's your worst enemy already. You and I know, those of you who have tried to have a daily meditation practice, this is what kills you. This is what has always killed you. Get over this one, the rest is easier. Yeah. It's like yoga, you know? Like, I don't feel like doing my yoga today. Then you're dead. Then nothing will happen. Okay? So, it's very important to discuss the antidote for the first problem. How do you get yourself to feel like doing yoga or meditation today? How do you change? There are half of the eight antidotes are committed to problem number one. Got it? That's why there's five and eight, okay? There's 5 problems, 8 antidotes, because the first one needs 4 fixes. Say, Depa,
Dumba,
Sulwa,
Xinjiang.
These are the 4. Very beautiful, really beautiful. I always like to compare it to my high school girlfriend, okay? Which I can compare just about anything to. So, in the pursuit of your high school girlfriend, there are 4 steps. Alright? I'm trying to think of an easy way for you to remember. It could be a boyfriend, okay? Number 1, Depa. Depa in Tibetan means faith, Shraddha. Sarad in India, Sri Patami Joyce's grandson. The real meaning of his name is Shraddha. Anyway, it's faith, okay? Faith. What does faith mean in these practices? It means to admire the good qualities of something. You see? So first, the first time you meet the girl, I remember I'm looking through the window in Mr. Butz's history class, and there's this girl, you know? And you see and you start making lists in your mind about how cool they are. Okay? That's Depa. That's Shraddha. That's, you could call it admiration maybe, right? You make up lists in your head. I like her hair. I like her eyes. I like her nose. I like her chin. And then, etc. Okay? So that's Depa. If I learn to meditate, oh man, you know? He's gonna make a list, okay? He's gonna have an admiration list for meditation. That's step number 1. Think about all the cool stuff that's gonna happen to you if you meditate well. And that will get you on the cushion. Okay? If you truly believe you can lose weight, and look strong, and have a bright smiling complexion, then you're gonna get on the mat and do yoga, right? I mean, cause you think you're gonna get something out of it, right? So there's got to be reasons to do it, right? So that's Depa, faith, okay, Shraddha. Second one is Dumba. Dumba means after you look through the window of Mr. Bus's history class constantly, and you make excuses to walk by that room constantly, and you keep looking at all the cool things you like about him or her, right? What's going to happen next? You're gonna want her. You see what I mean? You're gonna get hungry. Well, what do you call it? Inspired. You know, you're gonna say, I want that, you know? Like, I want her to be my girlfriend. That's it. Dumba means you want it. Okay? First you think about how cool it is, and then you want it, right? So Dumba means like, I want to learn to meditate. I want to do yoga. Wow, if all that stuff can happen, I want to do it. Okay, so step 2 is very naturally flows from step 1. And he'll say that later. Step 2 naturally flows from number 1. When you think about how cool something is, even if it's a car or a house or, you know, anything, you're gonna want it, right? Dumba. Want it. Number 3 means, then you'll be willing to what? You'll be willing to put some effort into it. You know, you'll be willing to kick butt to get it, right? If you consider how cool it is, and if by considering how cool it is, you really want it, then you're going to be willing to do some hard work, you know? Jenny says to you, look, you can get all these cool results from yoga, but you're going to have to, you want to be a good yogi, but you're going to have to work hard. And then if you have in your mind all these reasons why you want it, then you'll be willing to put in some work, okay? So number 3 means the hard work you're going to have to do. Because you want it. Because you saw how cool it was. Okay? So no matter how many times she tells me she won't go out with me, I'm gonna keep trying. Got it? I'm continuing the high school girlfriend metaphor. Okay. So, you know, you just persisted. Even if it takes like 40 years, you just persisted. Okay? Okay. What's the last one? Give us a... Xinjiang. Say Xinjiang. Xinjiang means you're gonna get good at it. Xinjiang means mental and physically good at it. Meditating. Your body, people were talking to me today about, oh, my legs are falling asleep. Forget it. You know, you're gonna reach a state in your meditation where you're gonna be happy when it all falls asleep. Because you've got to spend 2 or 3 more hours. you know, let it all fall asleep, you know? And then you're just like, physically you're like, wow. You sit down and you go boom, you know? You just body flows into that posture and you're like boom. That's Shinjang. And then your mind just turns on. You know, you sit down, you get on your cushion, you put your hands like that. By the time the wrist hits the knees, you're already there, you know? And then you're like flowing. And that's Shinjang. Mental and physical. Physically, you're like in the saddle. I like to think, I always feel like, oh, I'm back in the saddle. Ah. You know, ah. If you do yoga a lot, Lama Christie and I, before 3-year retreat, we asked Lady Ruth to give us a class, Ruth Lauer. And at the end of the class, we said, Lady Ruth, you know, we're going to have to be helping each other, like adjusting each other. Could you teach us some adjustments? And she said, okay, I'm going to get into this, we're dhanurasana, and then you do this adjustment on me, you know. So she got into it, and then she said, okay, do this with my shoulders, and we did it, and she went, ah. And then she got into a handstand or something, and she said, okay, now touch me here. And we touched her, and she go, You know, because she's so doing yoga all the time, she's done it so much that it just feels blissful. You see what I mean? Like anything we did, she would keep going, And you know, Lady Ruth, she's shy and she's very quiet and she couldn't resist going, you know. So Shinjang means you hit the mat, you hit the cushion. Shinjang is like your wrist hits your knee, your finger almost touches your thumb, and then you're in some zone already. That's Shinjang. Okay? It comes from what? Hard work. Why are you willing to do the hard work? Because you want her. Why do you want her? Because you walked by that window 10,000 times and saw, you made lists in your mind of all the cool stuff that was going to happen once she became your girlfriend. And it does. Okay? Got it? Yeah. Shinjang? Just that word? Depa, you can say D-E-P-A, which is making lists about how cool she is. Dunpa, D-U-N-P-A, means I want it. I want her. And then Sowa is T-S-U-L-W-A, which means I'm willing to put in the work if it's necessary to get her. I'm going to be persistent. And then Shinjang, S-H-I-N-J-A-N-G, is like that physical and mental, what do you call it, zone. Like, you're high. You get high. You hit the zone and you're like, whoa. Okay? It'll come from the hard work. All right. So, Number four is described as the result of number three, right? Obviously. You are able to get into the zone because of hard work, daily practice, hard work. Okay? Jala dhammar tingin sin gomba la jub ning ming dhapa am shukyan gintu ming nyube lelo nyepa yinbe. Kan gomche yuni tingin sin de. The thing we are trying to reach is called tingin sin. Say tingin sin.
Tingin sin.
Tingin sin. Zin means to hold the object. Zin means hold. Tinge. Say tinge.
Tinge.
Tinge. Tinge means vivid. Okay, like the color of spring trees or spring grass, like a huge meadow of spring grass, they call mo mo tinge. Mo tinge means, how do you say in English?
Vibrant.
Like it's like vibrating, vibrant color. Ting tingyan zin, the Tibetan word for focus, meditation. In the Ashtanga, what is it? What are the last three? The last three angas. Dharana, Dhyana, Samadhi. Dharana is Zin, okay? Like focus. The beginning. Tingin Zin is like focus. Like deep and vibrant, okay? So the goal of meditation is to reach this vibrant state of attention. Right? I'm going to tell you now, and I'm going to keep saying it over and over again. Good meditation feels like listening to the most beautiful music you can imagine, and you're lost in it. But you're not lost in it in a spaced out way. Your mind is vibrant, and your mind is exploding, right? And your mind is sharp and happy and vibrant, right? You're deep, deep into some piece of music, right? Or you're watching a movie and you're like, I took Venerable Robina, we went out to see Braveheart. Oh, that was a mistake. You know, she's this little karate lady, nun from California, right? And she's at Braveheart. We're watching Braveheart in the San, what's that town? The mall.
Santa Cruz,
yeah. And she's like, punch him, suck him, hit him. You know, and this is a Buddhist nun, this little tiny Buddhist nun. And we're in this theater and everybody's staring at us, you know. But she is into the movie. You see, like her mind is, she thinks she's there fighting with Braveheart, you know. And that's Tingen Zin. That's Tingen Zin. Like, good meditation is bright, happy, pure, engaged, excited, turned on, you know, like, in the zone, you know. It's not this, okay, got it? When you're the best book you ever read, and the best page of the best book you ever read, how is your mind at that moment? That's the state you want to be in. It's active, it's vital, it's vibrant, it's happy, it's pure, it's focused, and it's like turned on, okay? It's not like some kind of dullness. That's a big danger. Okay, then that number thing is in. What we want is that. Jugnin mi dapan ma shukyam gintu mi nipe. He defines the first problem, which is lelo, not feeling like meditation. Says, either you feel like not doing it at the beginning. Those of you who know Tibetan and you want to learn some new words, jugnin mi, ning mi de means you don't have the heart. You don't want the heart. Ning mi de, okay? Shukyam. Or even if you do get into the meditation, 2 minutes, you're not able to sustain it. Okay? You get, even if you sit on the cushion, you can't sustain it. You get up. You just get up. You know? You just get up after 5 minutes and you're thinking about some email you didn't send or something like that. Okay? Nyepa yinpe de jongje mwani. He says the real antidote, if you had to pick one out of the four that you thought was the opposite of that, which one would it be?
Best one.
Yeah, good. Number four, okay? That, like, boom, that feeling of boom, your body, and you get down on the cushion, your hands touch your knees, and you're there. That's Shinjang. That's the real antidote to not feeling like meditating, okay? If every time you sit down, you're going to have this boom experience in the first 3 seconds, you're gonna want to meditate because it's cool. It's cool to be in boom. Okay, all right. We don't have Xinjiang. We're not there yet. So what do you do? Think about how cool it would be if you had it. I mean, I'm sitting up here and I'm describing some kind of thing that happens to you. And in the back of your mind, you're saying, I like that movie. What? Harry Meets Sally, right? Then I'll stop. You can take a break. If you gotta listen to Harry Meets Sally. I never saw the movie. Just people told me about it. And then I saw the 1 minute clip of that part. But I don't know what the movie's about even. But apparently some lady is having dinner with some man. And then she's having an orgasm during the dinner. So they're eating like hamburgers or something. In this nice, no, it's a steak probably. They're in a big nice restaurant. And they're talking and she's going, you know? And then this well-dressed lady comes in, like a white suit, like she's like 60, and she's got the nails and the, what do you call it? Pearls and stuff, and her hair's up. And then she comes in and sits down, and then the waiter is all dressed up in white, what do you call it, white jacket, dinner jacket, and he comes over and hands her a menu. You know, I didn't see it, okay, so I'm just, he hands her a menu. And she doesn't take the menu because she's looking at this lady going, And then the waiter says, Madame, you know, and she's like, yes. And he says, well, what would you like to have for dinner, you know? And she says, give me whatever she's having. So even if you don't have Xinjiang, you can say to yourself, I don't know what it's like. I haven't had Xinjiang, but I'm getting a smell from this guy. There must be, that sounds pretty cool. I would like, give me what they're having. Give me what they're having. That's depa. Okay? Depa means, that sounds cool. So until you have the Xinjiang to overcome your laziness, use your faith. Use what you've heard about how cool it is to substitute for the Xinjiang for a while. Got it? I want to meditate. Why? I think I'll have what he's having. You know? Got it? Okay. I think we should take a break. So, we'll take a 10-minute break. If you ordered a meditation poster, pick it up in the back. There's also a book. I don't have it with me, but this entire text was translated over a 20-year period by a friend of mine, fellow student of mine. And, can I see? So, there's a fellow student of mine named Art Engel. He spent the 20 years with me learning this from Ken Rinpoche, and he translated it. It's in 3 volumes. This is the whole text in here. This is the 3rd volume, okay? So, I'm gonna encourage you to get it, okay? If you want. We have them back there. We don't have them? Okay. That's bad. That's really bad. Okay, anyway. This is what I've been teaching. It's already translated. Okay? So I'm doing it a little bit better, but you can no, I'm just kidding. It's a really beautiful translation, and he really, really did a lot of good notes and stuff. So I'm encouraging you to get this book, which you can't get, so don't get it. And then if you've ordered the poster will be there. If you didn't get a poster and you want a poster, are they still there?
Yeah, if everyone who actually paid for one could take them first, and I think there are some left over, but let's just see after. So then maybe just check back towards the end of the break if there are.
Well, let's make an agreement. People who paid for it get it first, okay? And then if there's more left over, you can take. And if there's not enough for everybody by the end, we'll make some more, okay?
Yeah, you can. Angela will be in the back, and if you'd like to order one, they're $25 or Geshe Study sponsor some for people who didn't
have
money.
If you're really broke.
But please give your name to Angela and give the money to Angela.
If you're really broke, you can take one, or I'll get you one, okay? But if you can donate $25, we're going to give it to someone who's building a meditation cabinet and doesn't have enough money to finish, okay? Okay. See, if you'd like to ask a quick personal question, because there'll be other people, or if you just want to say hi, I'll be here, okay? And we'll start again in like 10, 15 minutes. What was the first step to not feeling like meditating? Yeah, I mean, making lists, admiration, right? Thinking about all the cool stuff about her, right? So, Master Shantideva, in the Bodhicharya Avatara, he makes a comment, you know, with a girl, you know what it is. It's her eyes, her nose, or everything else, right? But what is it about meditation that's cool, right? My job is to give you all the cool things about meditation, okay? Here we go. Master Shantideva says, Deju dani kato kun yurin dusu che che kyan semshen yin pe che be ni deni rebe dune so. Deju dani kato kun, you can spend your time reciting holy rituals. What's that sound? Next door? It's heaven is coming. Kato kun means you can do all these rough spiritual practices. You can lock yourself up for 3 years at Dharma. Okay? Yunin desu cheje kyan. You can do those for a long time. You can spend a lot of your time on them. But, Senshen Yenwei Chepina, if your mind is distracted while you're doing all these holy practices, even yoga, right? If your mind is distracted while you're doing them, they become meaningless. Okay? And you ruin all your spiritual practices if you don't have the ability to keep your mind focused. Okay? Also yoga asana, same thing. If you don't have the capacity to keep your mind focused on what you're doing, it doesn't matter how nice the stuff is, because you won't do it well. You'll be distracted. Okay? Who said that? Dini Rigpe. Dini Rigpe means the one who understands the way things are, which is the Buddha or something. She Sumba Shin Sem Yenwei Kin Nam Sam Shin. So the first cool thing about meditation that you're supposed to, is supposed to be a selling point for meditation, is negative. If you meditate, if you learn to meditate, you won't be distracted and ruin all your other cool things. Got it? The first selling point for meditation is that you won't ruin all your other good activities by being distracted. You'll be able to focus. Even if all you care about is watching TV, you'll be able to focus on TV. Okay. And if it happens that you want to engage in some act of kindness, or act of goodness, you will be more focused and you will be more, what do you call it, stable and steady when you try to do something kind. Okay? There are people you know who try to do good things for others and they bail out after 3 weeks. Or, you know, they never quite get it done. They say, look, I'll come over and paint your house for you. 3 years later, there's still cans of paint in the corner. And the second room never got painted, right? So, if you have meditative focus, everything you do in your life is done well. And it gets finished. And you're just focused and you're, strong, stable, steady. You get things done. And you're able to focus and concentrate and finish things. Okay? Tenshin. If you have that kind of focus where you can stay with a task firmly, you will quickly, it speeds up your spiritual progress. It speeds up everything about your spiritual life. You speed it up. If your mind is focused and steady, so, for example, just being able to focus on your breath for 15 minutes straight without a break in the morning is enough to make you a very good business person. Okay? That's amazing. Michael Gordon told me that, right? He did what? TM. Michael Gordon has done TM. He's the owner of Bumble and Bumble, just sold it to Estee Lauder for $50 million. Okay? I said, how did you learn to concentrate like that? He says, somebody taught me TM when I was a hippie back in 1968. And I never stopped. I'm still doing it. It's like 10 minutes a day. And he just does this little meditation exercise watching his breath. And that made him a $50 million company. You see, that you learn to concentrate and focus and keep your mind on something and then stuff comes faster. Okay? Everything comes faster. That's their mind. I'm trying to describe to you the qualities of the girl, right? Got it? Tumongin Murshe Juju So Kyan Di Drupjin. If you meditate regularly, properly, with the right conditions that we talked about, you can reach the state of clairvoyance. Okay? You can read other people's minds. You can tell what's going to happen 3 weeks from now, or 6 years from now, or 500 years from now. You can see huge patterns in the world, and you can see what's going to happen in your own life ahead of time. And you can fix it, or you can do cool things, you see? You can make supernatural things happen, and you can read other people's minds. And you can get a sense of the future that makes you extremely successful at whatever you try to do. Okay? If it's business, you already know next year's products. Sometimes it's not completely conscious, okay? You're designing the next generation of computer chip. You have a vision into it 6 months before everybody else has it because you've been meditating. And it's not like you see the plans for the chip on your table 6 months from now. It's not like that. You can call it inspiration. You can call it instinct. Instinct, the cause of instinct is meditation. Okay? You can have these incredible instincts that other people don't have. You can discover patterns in the, what do you call it? In the web. What do you call it? Matrix. You see patterns in the matrix 6 months before, or a year before, or 10 years before other people. Okay? You are a visionary. And you're just doing things way ahead of everybody else. Because you're meditating. And you're actually picking up on what's already going to happen. Got it? You're not discovering new stuff. You're picking up on what's already going to happen because you're meditating. And you've attained some level of clairvoyance. Later on, that will get very cool. It will go hundreds of years out. You will see patterns hundreds of... You will be doing things now because you know a certain thing will happen 500 years from now. It's cool. Okay? That's really fun. It's one thing to predict next year's computer chip. It's another thing to know what's going to be going on 500 years from now on this planet. Okay? That's kind of cool, right? And to be able to see other worlds and meet beings in other worlds and things like this can... I don't know. It doesn't work for me to say these things in a business seminar. They just want to know, Rishier wants to know what's going to happen next year with the merger with Iberia. You know, but frankly, in this context, I'm sort of liberated to just, these things can happen. You can have these kind of things happen. And that's so cool. To see things 100 years out, to see patterns 100 years ahead or stuff like that. You can do that. And that changes your, what do you call it? Your scope of your life. You know, you're not just doing things for next year or next week. You're doing things 100 years ahead that will affect thousands or millions of people. You see? And if you meditate well, you can... John Foley calls it... What's that thing? Like he's always talking about this cool thing. I always forget the word. He said normally jet airplanes are only allowed to fly within... They're not allowed to go less than 1 mile close to each other. And if you're in a military aircraft, and if you have special permission, you can go within 12 feet or something of other aircraft, if with training. And then he gets to the Blue Angels and they say, okay, we're going to fly, what was it, 36 inches. We're going to fly 3 feet from another plane that weighs 15 tons? 20 tons, and costs $40 million, and closes at a speed of 1,000 knots, which you've got to express in miles per hour. Which is what?
It's actually 1,000 miles per hour, 800 knots.
Closing at 1,000 miles per hour, right? He describes in his training the act of jumping to a whole new level of performance, right? So, you know, it used to be that it was cool if you got within within visual sight of another airplane. Now you're 3 feet away from another plane, and combined you're going 1,000 miles an hour, you know? What I'm saying is that if you meditate well, it's not just that you get some sort of special insight into what's going to happen this afternoon at work. You are working 100 years ahead. You are working 500 years ahead. You are taking actions which will affect planets. And it's cool. It's like it's the difference between a commercial airliner and a Blue Angel. Got it? Like the whole difference of scale, it changes. Your whole scope changes. You're not worrying about next week. You're worrying about 500 years from now. It's cool. It's fun. Okay. All right. You're supposed to get started on Dupa. You're supposed to start wanting the girl, okay? Even when you sleep, you'll be in a state of meditation. Even when you fall asleep, you're not exactly sleeping anymore. It's a kind of meditation. But be kind of disturbing, you have to have a teacher. Okay. Naturally, if you meditate, it starts to affect your negative emotions. You will be better able to cope with everything if you do just a little meditation every day. OK? Okay? Just 15 minutes a day, if nothing more grand than that, you won't get as upset as you used to get at work, okay? And with your family. And that's worth it. Okay? That investment of 15 minutes is worth it. If you do yoga for half an hour, 45 minutes a day, 1 hour, you will add 20 years of good time to your life. 20, 30 years. It's worth it, right? It's just worth it. And doing meditation 15 minutes a day changes your whole day. Your whole day goes smoother. That investment of 15 minutes a day makes everybody in the office happy. And it's worth it. The time that you lose, people are always worrying about, I'm going to lose 15 minutes in the morning. But you're going to pick up an office that, or your workplace is going to be pleasant for like 5 hours. Isn't that a good trade? Okay, like that. Kempa do shenyen tenzu ne tsandei kitsopa di lampanje nyu do ke lawa. But he says, more importantly, all of the steps to liberation, right? All of the steps to the point where you become an enlightened being, they will be a cinch if you learn to meditate, okay? That's why we're going to the back of the book first, right? Because our task for the next 10 years is to train ourselves in like 20 spiritual arts, 20 different spiritual arts, which are graded, which are in a certain order. And if you go through them, at the end of the process, you are a being who can help this entire planet. You've got the 500 years ahead vision. You see, you can help people on that level. The real reason to learn to meditate is that it will help you achieve those steps. Got it? So the rest of the stuff I said, it was just, what do you call it? Trinkets. What do you call it? Costume jewelry. Okay? I mean, it was just little stuff. Seeing that what's going to happen on the planet for the next 500 years is nothing compared to the fact that if you learn to meditate well, then as you go through these spiritual practices, arts, you will master them like that. Got it? Meditation will become your tool to mastering 100 other spiritual arts, right? And that's cool. It's a tool that you cannot do without. What's Sinkwa known? Mena Mirunwa in Tibetan. You cannot do without it. It's a tool that you're going to have to apply for the rest of your life, whether you're fixing cars or you're getting enlightened. Okay? Learn the tool. Take the time. Invest the time to learn the tools. I mean, a good carpenter, a good builder, they spend a lot of time to make sure they have work. I was taught in carpentry. The big deal my boss, my foreman, kept drilling into me was use the right tool. You know, like, stop. Stop there. Stop trying to use a chisel to break the top of a screwdriver in a screw. You know, go get a hacksaw. Because that's what does it right, you know? And he'd make me stop and walk over to the toolbox and get the hacksaw. And I was trying to ruin a chisel on it, right? And it means, like, bring the right tool to the path. And meditation is a tool that you will need for every spiritual task you will ever undertake in your life and every other task that you'll ever undertake in your life. Because if you can focus and if you can concentrate, you can do everything better. Got it? Okay. All the way up to the highest levels of Tantra. You need to be able to concentrate. Think about these cool things that are going to happen to you if you learn to meditate. Okay? Think about them. If you do, then you will get to step number one. Right? Admiration. She's cool. I want what she has. Okay? Got it? Right. If you start to see how cool it is, what's going to happen if you meditate, and all the stuff I was talking about is going to happen, you will come to a place where you see 500 years ahead, clearly. And you will come to a scope where you are trying to, you are dealing with planets and not people, okay? You are working with whole worlds, okay? DCI opened its doors, I don't know. The first corporate gig we ever did was a $12 billion one, okay? Got it? All right. Your whole level will change. Then you'll get syndrome. then you'll want to work hard. You'll be all excited to work hard. You know? Somebody, David Swenson, okay? I wrote him, I said, will you come teach? He said, he's busy. He said, guess what? I booked 2 years ahead and I'm in Paris. What do you want me to do? You know, you give me 1 week notice. But anyway, he told me, some lady came up to him and said, I want to learn yoga, but I don't want to put in all those hours. And he said, God, you're so lucky you asked me because I have a yoga pill. And she said, really? And she said, he said, yeah, I have a pill. A Ashtanga pill, you know? And you just take the pill once a day and that's it, you know? You don't have to do all the yoga. You know? And you save all those hours, you know? And she said, okay, give it to me. And he gave her this bottle, you know? And then on the side of the bottle it says, just before you take the pill, do like these exercises. do these 30 exercises just before you take the pill. Okay, anyway, you gotta do the work. You gotta do the work. Okay, let you know. Shinjang nam renshin nama ngame chima chima ga omwe dishi gyende kitsil dro. So, gyende kitsil dro. As I said before, those four steps will naturally trigger the other. The each one, it'll be a domino thing, you know? You like her, you want her. You want her, you work for her. You work for her, you have fun. Okay? It's like the first one makes all the others happen. Got it? Okay. This tells me how far I have to go each time. Ooh, that's bad. Are you sure? Oh, man. Yeah. We'll just go to 6:30 and call it a day. Okay. Nyepa dhamma japa ni. What's the second problem? Forgetting the instructions. This is experiential. The second problem of meditation is forgetting the instructions. It doesn't mean what it says. Okay? It doesn't mean what it says. What it means is, in the middle of a meditation, you lose the object. Okay? In the middle of a meditation, you lose the object. Okay? You're supposed to be meditating about this, your teacher, for example. But then suddenly you come to your senses and you realize you've been thinking about lunch for 10 minutes. You know? Like, would I rather have a cheeseburger or you can't have a cheeseburger, cheese sandwich, or like that, okay? Forgetting the instructions is a code word for losing the object of your meditation completely. And your mind's off on something else, okay? Like, you drop the object. You drop the ball, okay? All right. Nikten chembe shorwala ser. This means that your awareness of your own mind has slipped and you lost the object, right? If you were aware or you were keeping the object in mind, you wouldn't lose the object. If you fail to keep it in mind, you lose it. Got it? Okay. Maybe you'll stop saying got it. That's kind of bad, isn't it? Tingin zin la jorai tse kim du che. This is the worst problem of meditation. Once you're into the actual practice of meditation, the biggest problem for anybody is to lose the object entirely. It's one thing not to be clear on the object. It's one thing to be holding it loosely or strongly. But to lose it completely is really bad. Okay. To just start thinking about something else is like the worst. Got it? Got it. Deyan umanyingbo. Umanyingbo means Madhyamaka Shraddha. And it was written by Master Bhava Viveka about 1300 years ago. And it says, where are we? Yiki lango longo wa mikbeka wa tembo la dembe kape nge ching ne sherab chakyu ni wang cha shepatara. Yiki lango, the mind is like a wild elephant. You can say wild horse in this country. You can't really appreciate a wild elephant. But a wild horse you can imagine, right? A really wild horse, uncontrollable horse. But they can't do as much damage as a crazy elephant, okay? But anyway, Longdowa refuses to follow its master's instructions, okay? Mikbekawa, chain him to the pillar of, chain the wild horse of the mind to the hitching post of your meditation object, okay? He's comparing a pillar or a hitching post or a pole to your meditation object. And he's comparing your mind to a wild elephant. And he's saying, chain one to the other. And it's really cool when you get good at this, okay? It's really cool. You sit down, you say, I'm going to meditate today. You say, what are you going to meditate about? I'm going to meditate about death, okay? About my death, which is one famous meditation. Okay? Then you, in your mind, you visualize tying your mind to that object. Okay? It's very beautiful. Imagine my mind is here, death is there, I tie my mind to death, you know, with my sense of awareness, okay? My remembering the object. The rope is my ability to hold my mind on that object. Got it? The rope is the ability to hold my mind on that object. And then how much slack are you going to let it go? You see, it's a very beautiful idea. You can let the horse go 6 feet. You can let the horse go 12 feet. But when he hits a certain distance, the rope tightens. And then the alarm goes off in your mind and you say, I'm losing the object. So it's a beautiful, beautiful idea. When you sit down to meditate, before you do anything, choose an object of meditation. That's number one job. Number one job. What are you going to meditate about? Choose it, define it, isolate it. Put it in a corner of your mind. Then even physically visualize, tying your mind to that. And say, you ain't going away from me for more than 5 seconds. Before the rope goes taut, the rope goes tight, and then I'm pulling you back. Okay? So I've got this connection between me and you now. And until I finish my meditation session, you are tied to me. You cannot wander more than a certain distance, or the rope will go taut, and I'll be aware, and I'll pull you back. Right? It's very beautiful. You have to try it. It's very powerful. Tie your mind mentally. Visualize tying your mind to that object. And at the end of the meditation, untie. And then you can think about lunch. Okay. In India, in ancient India, when I think it's called a mahout. What's a mahout?
It's an elephant
trainer, a driver, right? And they have a special hook. It looks like an ice hook. It's a piece of wood and it's a metal hook. It's an iron hook. And they actually turn the elephant by jabbing it in his ear and pulling, you know? And then the elephant's like, you all, I guess you want me to go to the right. You know, and they train them with this very, because their elephant's skin is really thick. And you can jab it in and it doesn't really hurt him. It doesn't bleed or anything, you see? And he says, on the wild elephant of the mind, you will have to use your wisdom to turn him here and there. But we'll talk about it. Sendi lamo chi hibe kawa la tak gobe. You have to tie your mind to that object. Karla dope shi, shineki mipa shi go. Hey, but before you tie your mind to an object, you're going to have to choose an object. All right? So he goes off on an explanation of worthy objects of meditation. Right? Worthy objects of meditation. Before you tie your mind down to an object, you got to pick an object. and that should be a careful selection process. Don't do it lightly. Don't do it lightly. Whatever object you choose will become part of your being through the act of meditation. Okay? So it's got to be an amazing object. Don't choose your objects lightly. And when you choose them, choose something extremely powerful, because that will become part of you. If your meditation is good, that will become part of you. We are constantly meditating on the people we don't like. We spend more time in the day contemplating people who have said something bad to us, people who have hurt us, people who have done something to us. We spend the majority of our day, a great part of our thinking time is spent thinking about the people who have given us a hard time in one way or another. Usually they said something to you that you don't like, or they've done something to hurt you. Relationships are really good for that. And you invest a lot of your time in thinking how much you dislike this person. That disliking then becomes part of your being. If you tie your mind to that object, you will become a dislikable person, okay? And whatever object you choose is gonna infect you. So choose a good one. And not your ex-spouse. Okay. There we go. This is beautiful, okay? This is really beautiful. I hate this thought here, but you might fall over. It's easier to sit than to talk, I know that. I'm sorry, it's easier to talk than to sit. I experienced that in the monastery for 20 years. And they go on. And it's 100 degrees, and it's in a jungle, right? Anyway. He says something beautiful. You can learn to meditate on anything. Anything good or bad can become a meditation object. Okay? You can develop shamatha on any object. You know, like a baseball player. A good baseball player develops shamatha on the ball. You know? Like, what's the benefit of staring at a sewn, stitched ball? I don't know. Because you become like the ball. Maybe that's why. Well, anyway. So the first thing to understand is that deep states of meditation can be developed towards any object. Even your ex-spouse, someone you hate, right? Drupa Yin. Chiru Badaki Dyudang Shingu Lamikbadam. There was a custom in India, in some parts of India, where you would close your eyes and just try to visualize a small stone or a small piece of wood. Right? You would just visualize a stone, a pebble, or you would visualize a little twig of wood, and you would just meditate on that. There were schools that did that. Bunti, Awa Mikte. There was a shamanistic tradition in Tibet called Bun, and they would choose a letter A as being the mother letter of all things. So they would just meditate on A. Shine Drupadam, Mikten De Dande, Yi Yud Chepale. They actually got results. Miki Te De Drupamin. They didn't stare at a stick, and they didn't stare at a rock, and they didn't draw a letter A and stare at the A. Okay? They did it inside their mind. Shencho Ka Chiki, Mikten La Miki Te De Drupani, Namani Le Kyang Min Te. But there were other schools in India, and there's a thing called chataka. I don't know if you've heard of it. They would actually stare at something physically, like a candle flame or a yantra. They would draw a picture and just stare at a picture. Okay? He says, that's even worse than the other two. Men means worse. Shine yishi la juguki. Because the ultimate object of meditation, as Master Patanjali says in the Yoga Sutra at the end, the last two chapters, this meditation is something that you develop inside the mind and not by staring at something. Okay? It's a mental process. It's a sharpening of the mind focused on something within the mind. And that's what will give you spiritual goals. That's what will bring you high spiritual goals. Staring at something on the outside, in his system, that would just be considered useless. My own experience is that if your mind is really, really, really wild elephant, if your mind is hopeless, and you can't concentrate on anything for more than a second, ADD. If you're like super ADD, maybe you could try staring at a counterfeit. I don't know. I think it would help. I do think it would help, but it's considered like, you know, desperate measure. It's better to try to close your eyes and concentrate. Okay? Alright. Nika Drapa Mahimbe, Deda Nangapa Chemo Somamukapa Zeno, in the time of the fifth Dalai Lama, who was the most famous of the Dalai Lamas up till this one, who has surpassed him, he's the one who built the Potala Palace and things like that. He unified Tibet as a country. This particular thing really bugged him. It was a pet peeve of the fifth Dalai Lama. You know, don't meditate staring at some picture or something like that. Close your eyes and visualize the picture, and it's more powerful. When Gyagam ne chi ki semne mikten shen la ma drupa balagir lala mikten shete drupa chuma shindu. There was a story, there's a famous story about a guy in ancient India, and he had trouble visualizing anything at all. So his teacher told him, just pretend you have horns on your head, like bull's horns or antlers, okay? And try to meditate on that. Just close your eyes and try to feel the antlers on your head and try to picture them carefully. And then, you know, because the guy was so bad that he couldn't do anything. He couldn't get any philosophical subject, you know. He said, go meditate on horns. And then his student didn't come back. And then he sent somebody to go find out what happened. And the student was there and they came, right? And the guy said, the teacher wants to see you. And he says, I can't. He says, what's wrong? He says, every time I try to get out, the horns stick in the doorway. You know? So it's possible to meditate on anything. And it's possible to get good at it. He got shamatha. He got perfect concentration. It was so perfect that he couldn't get out the door. Okay? It's possible. Gombala, miten chekyan drup. Even that kind of object, you can use it, okay? When kyan, rangchak nam ki jidam ni chem do kasatan. But, rangchak, is there a rangchak? Yeah. People like you and me, says Pabo Rinpoche, right? Yeah, I wish I was like you. Okay? People like you and me, he says, we have the blessing of a very deep instruction from the time of the first Dalai Lama, okay? From the time of Tsongkhapa. Kasutar, Shinye Drupe Tse, Sangye Kekula Minne, Tsok Tsok Drup Jong. Why not pick a meditation object which is sacred and already extremely highly holy thing and use that as your meditation object? Because it will infect you. It will bleed into you, you know? Choose an object which is already extremely holy and sacred. And then meditate on that. And it will, you don't become like a baseball or horns or a rock. You become like that holy being. That being's blessing is sucked into you. Okay? So since the time of the first Dalai Lama, it was a tradition, pick a high holy object and visualize that as the beginning of your meditation practice. Tie your mind to the holiest object you can imagine, and it will infect you. Every moment you think about it, the holiest object in a Buddhist life is their... It's your heart teacher, right? So whoever your heart teacher is. Everybody has a different one. Different gloves fit different people, right? In your life, someday in your life, you will find your heart teacher, right? And then pick that, you know? When you are trying to develop focus, or you're trying to develop deep meditation, then choose as your object the one being that you would most like to be like, right? That's your heart teacher. So whoever it is, everyone resonates with a different teacher, and that's fine. Find your heart teacher. And then when you're trying to develop meditation, be with them, you know? Put them in front of your mind. Chain your mind to them. Tie your mind to them. Have them in your mind all day, you know? And then they'll affect you, right? You will become like them, like the person you most love in the world. Meditate on that holy being, and then you will become them. You will become one with them. It's very beautiful. Very beautiful. This is our tradition, okay? Whoever it is, doesn't matter. Okay? If it's Jesus or whatever, it doesn't matter. Your own teacher, it doesn't matter. But just meditate on them. And then the goal of having a teacher is to be like the teacher. And if you constantly meditate on them, then their qualities will infect you. Sok-sok jo-jong means, sok-sok means every moment you think about your heart teacher, you are making new good karma. Just thinking about your teacher is good karma, right? It's the highest good karma. Jip-jong means if you have certain obstacles in your life, somebody came to me, they said, you know, Geshe-la, I've been trying to do what you suggested about in my business. I've been trying to use karmic management in my business, but I'm having obstacles, right? The best way to remove those obstacles is also to meditate on your heart teacher. So you get double whammy, right? You get good karmic seeds every second you're meditating on them, and then the power of your teacher is done. The power of meditating on them is that it removes obstacles in your life. Okay, so that's better than a stick, right? Okay, or a baseball. Okay, Kinchewa, that's important. That's much. It's a whole different level. Sanaki pai nyaljo gomala kinchewa. Also, later on, when you get to the higher teachings and you're trying to make contact with the angels. Okay? The purpose of the lower half of this, of the higher teachings, is to make contact with holy beings, right? Divine beings, angels. It'll make it a lot easier later. Okay? If you're meditating on some holy being, make believe. That affects the ability to meet them for real later. Got it? Okay. Sangye Jesu Jumbo Sola Penyin Chewa. These kinds, just to spend your time. You see, it's okay to meditate about the person at work that you don't like. And you will develop shamatha towards them. You will know every fault they have, intimately, years later. Every hurtful thing they ever said to you, everything they did, your ex did to you, if you meditate on it, you can develop shamatha towards it. And you will recall every detail of every argument you ever had with them perfectly. But what will that do to you? You see? What will it do to you to tie your mind to that object? What will that do to you? If, on the other hand, you pick some really holy, beautiful being and you tie your mind to them, what will happen to you? What will you become? You see? It's very profound. Okay. So then he describes the actual meditation. You can put your teacher, traditionally you put your teacher, Tepsar Tsang means this high, this big, okay? You put a miniature heart lama up on the top of your head. Like you walk around with his heart on your head. When you meditate especially. You can purposely bring that lama, your heart lama, down to the level of your navel. You can meditate on them here. Or you can meditate on them at your heart, or at the bruhor madhya, at the middle of between. You can meditate on them here, okay? And they mean something. they all have different, it's like they say, I heard, I don't know if it's true, that there's something in a cell phone, maybe the magnets in a cell phone, that if you hold it up to your head enough, it's going to affect your head. You know, I heard something like that. There's some, the electromagnetic radiation coming out of your phone could actually damage your brain if you keep holding the phone close to your brain, okay? It's ringing. Right now. So if you keep holding it up to your ear, it has some effect on your mind, right? Visualizing your llama here, it was vibrating, so I don't really have... Okay. Yeah. I gotta be honest. Putting your llama here, or putting the llama here, it affects your chakras. And we'll talk more about that maybe tomorrow. Okay? It affects your chakras. It's like the cell phone thing. Yanga shakti to give me the name. Yang kasi kashi la meten suchen la sumet virgin. Then he says, you see, what he's getting into, and we'll just go for another 10 minutes, okay? Because we're already over. And I know it's hard to sit so long, and that's the nature of people can only come on weekends. He's going to go through a discussion of nice meditation objects. He's going to go through a little, what do you call it, shopping? He's going to give you some choices. All right. So now he says there is a tradition where you could, people who would rather, there's some people who are not too good with visualizing pictures. Like they just don't feel comfortable with it, you know? Like, okay, I don't want to visualize a picture, you know? So then the Lama said, by the way, there's an option with your heart, Lama, right? I'm not saying visualize a photograph of them. I'm saying visualize them. There's a difference, right? Don't visualize a photo of them. Visualize them. What visualize them means that you will feel the warmth of their body on your body. You will smell the scent of their body in your nose. You will hear their breathing. You will see their eyes blink. You see, you're not visualizing a photo. You're visualizing a living being in front of you. It's very powerful. You smell the scent of their body. You feel the warmth of their body. You feel their breath on your body. Right? That's a real visualization. Not like, don't visualize photos. Okay? If you're visualizing a living thing, it's beautiful. And they're blinking, and then sometimes they're smiling, and sometimes they're like, okay. But Pabokwa Rinpoche says, some people will be more comfortable visualizing something that's not physical. Then he says, you could focus on your mind. That's Mahamudra, right? You could, as a meditation object, it's okay to select your own mind. Okay? You can watch your thoughts, analyze your thoughts. That's an advanced practice, and I think he's about to say, Dentawadaki, Jay Lamrim Chulu Gomba Tenchen Chungen ki so chepa kanden chakya chambu chi le sem la mik de shine jukcha sumba ta cha chok ching deni jukta shi. If you're interested, he said, in that practice, you should refer to the works by the first Panchen Lama on what? Mahamudra. He wrote a beautiful, beautiful text. Lama Christy taught it. I taught it to her, then she taught it to a lot of people, I think. It's a very, very exquisite teaching on meditating on the mind, okay? And in a proper way, in a beneficial way. So that's something you have to, he says, you go check that text, okay? You go get that teaching from somebody. If you're not into visualizing things, you can work on your own mind. Okay? He's giving you options, right? This is similar to other traditions in Tibet where they are trying to meditate on the clear light or the nature of the mind. Okay? It's called the clear light or meeting the mind face to face. Sometimes they call it that. He said, this is our version of that. Yam kirin lam gar le paku dam. Zorin lam gar le ashe lam ling ne kyan duk tu lungo. Those of you who have tantric empowerment and who have tantric training, you can focus on yourself as the deity and on yourself as the angel, right? So if you have that training, a worthy meditation object is to visualize yourself as a divine being, okay? And that's a first level tantric practice. Second level of tantric practice is what? Yoga is there, highest practice. What? Inner body, okay? Chakras, inner body. They call it rainbow body, or the body that you are working with when you do asanas. Okay? The body that you are working with when you do asanas, there are certain visualizations attached to that. There's a visualization of a dagger of fire, kundalini, in your navel chakra, right? So that's also appropriate. If you have that instructions, and if you have that training and permission to do that, it can be a very powerful meditation object to do kundalini or something. Visualize a dagger of fire at a certain place. Okay? That's also a good meditation object. Okay. Few more minutes. Shenya shinegi mipa la kyaba dan kyaba dan chepa dan nyamong shen. No, that's a different thing. Chepa dan nyamong nam jongi mipa nam su yepa le. I'm going to do this. I'll do it in 8 minutes. That'll be a record, okay? He doesn't explain it, and I took a long time, and I worked it out for him, okay? These are ancient meditation objects, okay? They haven't been explained properly for a few hundred years. He mentions four nice meditation objects that were taught 2,500 years ago, and they got buried since then, okay? Nobody kept the teaching, okay? But it's there. If you work on it, it's there. So there are four choices of meditation objects, okay? These are four more choices from very ancient times, from Lord Buddha himself, on meditation objects. So far we have Yarud Lama, we have some inner fire, we have angel, we have the mind, we have different meditation objects have been proposed. Why are we talking about meditation objects? We're talking about what to tie your mind to, right? Why are we talking about that? We were on the five problems. Is that a clue? What's the second problem? Second problem is the rope gets cut and you lose it. The horse runs off. Like, that's the worst, that's like the basic number one mistake in meditation. Once you get on the cushion, because the first problem is you don't want to get on the cushion. Once you get on the cushion, the worst problem is the horse breaks the rope and goes away, right? So the reason we're talking about potential or possible candidates for your meditation is that we're talking about who you're going to tie it to prevent the second problem. Got it? Okay, here we go. First one is called Kyaba. Kyaba means the all-inclusive meditation object. Okay, the first of the four great subjects of meditation taught by Lord Buddha is called the all-inclusive object of meditation. What is that? How many of the things in your life do something? Your car, your wife, your house, your clothing, your job, your city, the roads that lead here. How many of the things in your life do something? All of them, basically. Everything in your life does something, and that's why it's in your life. Because you used it. Okay? That's coverage. What did I call the first one? See, that's an all-inclusive object. What do I want you to meditate on? Everything in your life. Okay? How big is your object now? It's pretty big. It's everything. Okay, got it? The first meditation object of all is called everything. Okay? Why would you meditate on everything?
To relax.
If Geshe Michael sits up there and says, nothing works, your wife doesn't work, your house doesn't work, your car doesn't work, your job doesn't work, going to work for money doesn't work, starting the key on a car isn't what starts the car. If you get some kind of companionship out of your spouse, it has nothing to do with them. Okay? These are all radical things. Okay? The first meditation object is one which includes everything around you, and the instruction is, realize that none of it works. You can't get anything you want out of any of them. Okay? You want a boy? You can't do it by going online. You want to get to Phoenix from Mesa? You can't do it in a car. Okay? You want to make money? Forget working 8 hours a day. Okay? Just make the car run. Make the seed. Create the seed. What makes the car run is not the gas run. It's giving other people rides. What makes the yoga work for you is nothing to do with the poses. It's that you have helped the sick. Okay? How do you find a new boyfriend? Go to a nursing home and help a lonely person. You know? This is how things really work. How much stuff does that cover? Everything. Okay. So the first meditation object is?
Everything.
Got it? Right? Alright? It's cool, right? It's kind of cool. You can relate to that object on two levels. One is intellectual. One is, oh, cars don't work, people don't work, companions don't work, yoga doesn't work, computers don't work, food doesn't work. You can relate to it on that level. You can think about it. Or you can go deeper and go non-conceptual. You can go beyond thought on everything. That's called meditation on emptiness. Non-conceptual, beyond thinking, meditation on all the stuff there is. You can relate to the first meditation object in two ways. It can be thinking, or it can be beyond thinking. Right? And we have to talk about that. We'll talk about that. That's the first object. I almost said got it. Number two. Number two is called, you can say learning, okay? An object for learning. You can say an object for understanding. The Sanskrit word is kepa, pandita. This is where you break things down to understand them better. Any object where you are breaking things down to understand it better is object number two. It's some kind of analytical meditation. In Tibet, in this tradition of the Buddha, it's considered an acceptable form of meditation to analyze a problem or a situation or anything. Let's say you have a problem at work, all right? You have a problem at work. Your supervisor, the person who owns the yoga studio you work out or somebody in charge is giving you trouble. Right? So you meditate on it. And you say, why is this person giving me trouble? Why is this person always criticizing me? And then you think, well, maybe it's a karmic seed in my mind. Well, who put the karmic seed there?
I did.
How?
I criticized
other people. Right? This is... And then you go through this train of thought. You go through this analysis. You break it down. You break it down. I guess you could call number two breakdown meditation. Although it could be a problem. You break down a situation and you analyze it into its parts and you become a master of it. Oh, then I should stop. In order to get my boss to stop criticizing me, I will not say anything to them. I will not confront them. I will also not say anything to them. Rather, I will stop criticizing other people. And I will send that energy to my boss. And that will fix them. And then one day they'll be praising me. Alright? That's how you get stuff like British Air to happen. Alright? It's not an accident. You design it. Right? Okay, that's number two. Number three. Chepa, up there it only says Chepa, but it's really Chepa Namjong and Mikpa. Say Chepa.
Chepa.
Namjong.
Namjong.
And Mikpa.
Mikpa.
Styles of meditation which will improve your own behavior. Yeah. Styles of meditation which would improve your own behavior. For example, a death meditation.
Okay.
You can say Vidupa Goma. You have a problem with lust, okay? You have a problem with sexual desire. Like you can't control it. Right? There's healthy sexual desire, that's fine. And sex is fine. Sex is okay. Good sex is good. Okay? But to be obsessed with it to the point where it makes you unhappy, right? Where you just like surfing the net all day and you can't stop. And you get all nervous and you feel disturbed by it. You know? Where it becomes an obsession. Where it hurts you, right? You can undertake meditations that would fix that. Or you have an alcoholism problem. It's addiction, right? Any kind of addiction problem. You could undertake a meditation that would fix that. What would be such a meditation? In the case of sexual desire, it could be meditating. The traditional one is meditating on death. You know, you open up a Playboy magazine or you go on the web and you look at the lady's body and you try to imagine how it's going to be 3 weeks after she dies. In the coffin. With the maggots crawling out of the nose and out of the anus and out of the sexual organ, and then suddenly your desire goes, woo. Alright? These are called corrective meditation objects. So, you can undertake, what if you're just not a nice person? You could do tonglen, right? You could do meditations where you take away other people's pain or you give them happiness, right? And these would make you a less selfish person. So these are corrective meditation objects, right? Meditating on offering another person the things they want in their life on your breath as a meditation is the third type of meditation object, right? Corrective. It makes you a kinder, softer person, right? Number four, and then we'll start. Styles of meditation which are meant to affect your general negative emotions. Okay, it's similar to number three, but it's different. Number three was corrective meditations for specific problems you have. Number four is also corrective meditation, still a namjong. In those of you who know Tibetan, it's still a namjong. Namjong distributes to both chepa and nyomong, although they don't say it in the text. You can correct your negative emotions. There are two methods. One is called shiraki number chen. It means go in more and more deep, go more and more subtle. Right? Going more and more subtle is the number one version of number four. Okay? I will say, got it. Going finer and finer in your meditation. What does that mean? You sit down, you start meditating. All you can think about is the cars outside. You hear the car. There was a motorcycle this morning, right? Did you hear it? There was a motorcycle with a glass pack on it. And, you say, okay, I'm not going to listen to motorcycles anymore. And you bring your meditation, a narrowing of your meditation range. So you start with listening to the glass pack muffler on the motorcycle outside. Then you say, I'm not going to listen to that. I'm bringing my mind closer. You start to concentrate on the air conditioner turning on and off in the room this morning. All right? So at least you got your mind out of into the church. Lama Christine and I went to Ken Rinpoche. We said, we bowed to him. We said, okay, we've come to ask you for advice for the three-year retreat. And we had scheduled 3 or 4 hours. And he said, he leaned over and he said, keep your mind in the earth. Goodbye. That was it. So it's narrowing, okay? You start with the street. You start with Southern Avenue. And then you narrow it to the church and the air conditioner. And then you say, I'm not going to listen to the church noises anymore. And you start to listening to the sniffling and coughing of the people in the room. Right? And you say, I'm not going to listen to that anymore. And you narrow it down to people shuffling around. And then you say, I'm not going to listen to the shuffling around anymore. And then you start to go to your own breath. and you watch your own breath, which is kind of noisy, relatively noisy. Then you say, I'm just going to listen to my nose hairs move, which you can get to. All right, you will get. I'm going to listen to my nose hairs move. Then you say, I'm going finer. I will go into my inner ear and listen to the blood flow in my inner ear. You know, I will concentrate on the blood flowing through my inner ear. And you can. You can listen to that. Then you can say, I'm going to go deeper than that. I'm going to listen. I'm going to follow the prana moving through my body. Okay. I'm just going to put my mind on the prana flowing through my body. And then you say, I'm going to put my mind on one of my chakras. And then I'm going to put my mind on a point inside one of my chakras, which is equal to a grain of sand. I'm going to keep my mind in an area of my heart chakra, or navel chakra is safer, which is as big as a grain of sand, and keep it there. What's happening?
Your attention is narrowing.
You see, you are narrowing, narrowing, narrowing. It's called Shiraki number 10, means going from the more gross to the more subtle. From gross to subtle, gross to subtle. The noise inside your ear becomes gross in the next hour. You see? At 5 o'clock, the noise inside your ear is subtle. At 4 o'clock, you've gone to the prana, and that is gross. And you keep going more and more subtle, dropping levels, drop, 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 drop. And then that helps you overcome your negative emotions, your desire for food, your desire for fame or attention, my favorite one, or that kind of thing, alright? You naturally, as your mind gets more subtle, your desire for those things will lessen. It is not a permanent fix. It is not a permanent fix. You get up, you get out of meditation, you get in your car, you drive. The noise of the glass crack becomes subtle. And you're worrying about Highway 60. You're worrying about 12 cars on Highway 60 around you. You could care less about a single motorcycle. See? Everything can be subtle, everything can be rough. It's not a safe meditation. It's done by a lot of Westerners. They think if I can just get quiet, I'm meditating. It's okay. It's a temporary fix. When you get up and you get in your car, it's all going to melt. You won't remember the blood in your ears anymore, because you'll be trying to survive on Highway 60. Mm-hmm. The second part of number 4 is the ultimate fix. What's that? And then if somebody tells me, you can go home. Yeah, emptiness. Go to emptiness. Right? Go to the emptiness of that object. Instead of trying to feel calm about the car that's not working very well, understand that you can fix it by giving other people's rides. Understand? Go to the real fix. It's stop fooling around with trying to feel better about a car that doesn't work. Because that's the number one step of the last step. Stop trying to feel good about a car that doesn't work right. Stop trying to feel calm about a car that doesn't work right and scary, and it's making bad noises, and it might kill you on the next trip to Camp Verde. See? Stop relating to it that way. Stop trying to be calm about bad stuff. Rather, change the karmic states which are creating it in the first place. And that's the ultimate form of meditation. That's the final form of meditation. That's the final meditation object. I want my car to work better, so I'm going to give rides to anyone I see who needs one. Because that's what makes my car work better. Did you ever wonder why you pay a lot of money and you get a car and it sucks? And then you buy an old Saab with a broken window that doesn't even roll, right? And it goes forever. I went online to find out how to fix the headlight on a 1980 Volvo station wagon. I had to wade through all this stuff. There was an article, there was a Wiki Answers thing, and some 15-year-old kid was writing in, and he said, can someone tell me how to destroy a 1980 Volvo station wagon? Because my parents made me take it, and it won't stop. You know, it won't break down. And I want a decent car. And does anybody have suggestions? And then all these people wrote in and they said, pour sugar in the gas tank and pour water in the oil. And it was a whole nice list of this, how to destroy a 1981 station wagon. So the real fix for a bad car, you see, some people spend a lot of money and get a bad car, right? A lemon. And then some people don't spend any money and they get stuck with a 1980 Volvo that refuses to die. Understand that it's all karma. And it all comes from giving other people rides who need rides, right? And meditate on that. And that's the final object. We have completed the four most ancient meditation objects suggested by Lord Buddha. And nobody explains them. You won't see an explanation there. He just makes a list. They've been listing the four of them for hundreds of years. And everybody forgot what they were. So now you have that teaching. All right? Okay. We'll break and we'll come back at 8. Have a nice... take some good rest. Okay? If you're interested and you're bored, you can go to Paradise Cafe and other people will be there and you can do this afternoon's homework together with them while you eat dinner. Alright. Maybe Lama Chimba? Nice dinner.